Good morning, church. So as a lot of you know, this is our last official worship service in our Titan building here that we've resided in. 27 for 27 years. So a lot of history here, a lot of moments happened here, a lot of God moments, people giving their life to the Lord, people getting married here, babies dedicated here, baptisms, funerals, and just a lot of memories, when my wife was here before me, but when we were here as teenagers and barely adults, and you know, our kids were little, running around like this, our older kids. And nonetheless, there might be this question. I know I've struggled with this question, and I've been very transparent in this whole process of God, why? Like, where are you in this? And I see him through it. But I'm brought back to this verse. It's Psalms 94:11. The Lord knows all human plans. He knows that they are futile. And I, as much as I would love to have just control of like everything that God's doing, I know that at the end of the day, like, God is in charge. Amen. God's in charge. And I don't know what the future holds, you know, for us, but what I do know is that, and this is a phrase I keep saying, I just text my buddy Josh, who their church, Living Faith Victory Center, is going to be the ones in here next Sunday. And this morning we were texting back and forth, and you know, we were like, just going back and forth. And I said, you know, God, our buildings are changing, but God remains the same. Buildings are changing, but God remains the same. It doesn't matter if we meet in this church, or if we meet in a rented building, or we meet in a storefront, or we meet in somebody's home, or we meet in a church in Sela. Like, God still remains the same. And so my heart this morning is that we would not just be here as a, oh, this is our last time to be in this building. That's beautiful. That's great. But recognize that God has something for each and every one of us today. God knew who was going to be here, who wasn't going to be here. God knows who's going to listen to this later, who's going to watch online. God knew all that. And he knows that there is something specific that he wants to speak and impart into his children this morning. Amen? Would you guys stand with me? And let's just begin to receive right now. You don't need the special song or special word spoken over you to receive, because God, everything God has for us is available to us. It's us that stops the receiving. So just begin receiving right now, receiving his love, receiving his peace, his comfort, whatever that is that you are lacking this morning. Just know that God is wanting to meet you this morning. He's wanting to desperately pour out his love over you. He's wanting to desperately pour out his joy over you, his peace over you, his kindness over you. That's the God that we serve. So Lord, we thank you so much this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you're in the room, that you never left, that you were here in this place, Lord, before Pastor Mike opened the building this morning to start warming it up, before James got on stage and started playing, before any words were spoken, you were already moving in this place, God. And I just pray this morning that we, Lord, can step in to what you were already doing, God. Lord, let us be guided by your plans today, Lord, by your heart today, God. Let us move where your heart moves, and let us be moved by what moves your heart. God, I thank you so much, Lord, for every person in this place. I thank you, Jesus, that you are faithful, God. You are faithful, you are faithful. God, right now, just begin to work on hearts this morning. Right now, just begin to pour out something special over hearts this morning, God. We thank you, Jesus, that your mercies are new every single day. That your mercies are new every single day. We don't get leftovers. We don't get secondhand mercy, because your mercies are new every single day. And we just thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Come on, church, let's worship.
so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the
kick down, lying. James, I'm going to ask us to go back to the second song, if that's okay, the chorus of that second song. The reckless love of God. Many years ago, standing in this very church building, a dear friend of mine actually described it as scandalous. I loved that so much. I've remembered it all these years. In 1 John 4:19, it says, we loved because he first loved us. And then 1 John 4:8 says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So I'm saying that for this very reason. I'm going to turn to actually another scripture. And in this scripture, I was reminded of this scripture this morning as we were in prayer. And it's actually the scripture that talks about where our house is built. Now, we look at these beautiful arches, and we look at the beautiful wood that's making up the ceiling of this building. And we all that have been here for so long that it seems like it's become embedded in us. But y'all, this is just a building. Jesus is in us. His presence is in us. We carry his presence. This building is just a place for us to come to meet. And even though our hearts know that God is in everything that we're doing, it still stings just a little bit for those of us that have been here forever. And so I say that to say this. In Matthew 7, verse 24, it says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now, if you'll give me liberty, I want to read that one more time, but remember, God is love. Yes, that's what we just learned just in a few scriptures before. And it says, I'm going to replace love in here in place of God. And this is what it says. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of love and does them, love will liken him to the wise man who built his house on the rock. God is love. And where we build is where he is, if we build on the rock. He's the rock, you guys. He's love. He's the rock. Yes? So even though this is a little bit sentimental and hard for some of us, God's good. And his mercies, just like Pastor Eric said, they're new for us every single morning. So today we wake up in this beautiful building, and next Sunday we wake up in another building that will be like new to us, but it's going to be different. But if God is in us and we've built our house on him, we've built our life on him, we carry him into that place. It's just a building, brick and mortar. Doesn't really matter. He matters. So I want to encourage every one of us as we get the opportunity just now to go around and love on one another, maybe go get a cup of coffee. Remember, you're carrying God as the ark did all those centuries and millions of years ago when David carried the presence of God in the ark. We carry that presence now. That's what Jesus did for us. So remember, as you're loving on one another, you're carrying Jesus. Amen. Be encouraged this morning, everybody. We're doing great. God's here. So enjoy the company of one another. Greet one another. Grab a cup of coffee if you need one, or a bottle of water. It's over on the side. And we'll continue in just a few minutes.
Good morning. Good morning, church. Let's take our seats, please. Take our seats. We're going to get ready for declarations. Declarations over the city, because we love our city. It's the place that we live. It's the place where God is, of course, because God loves Yakima. All right. It's great to see so many people here this morning. So let's go on ahead and stand, please. We're going to do our declaration for the city. For those of you who don't know, we do this declaration every Sunday because we love the place that we live, and we want to make sure that we're speaking good things over it because we believe that there's power in the tongue. So go ahead and go to that first slide, please. All right, we're going to say this in cadence on three. One, two, three.
Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen.
Well, Lord, we just thank you so much for today, God. We thank you for this amazing place that we live in called Yakima. And we just declare your complete blessings over it, God. And as we're moving churches, Lord, even though that we may be moving to Sela, God, we still believe in revival for Yakima and Washington as a whole. So we thank you so much for today, for this message, for the amazing worship, and the things that you have planned. So we thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You guys can be seated. We just have a few announcements. The first, and probably most important, so you guys know where we are next Sunday, is next Sunday will be our first Sunday in our building in Sela. There's the address. And like I've been saying, we'll shoot this out on text message so we all know where to be. And it's exciting for all churches involved. If you haven't heard the story, pastors told it a couple times, so you can go back and listen to that. And then we wanted to do something next. You could show the sanctuary if you want, Pastor. This will be our sanctuary. And so pick your seat now, because that's the seat you will have for the rest of your church going life. All right, it's next Saturday. Before we officially have a Sunday service, we felt it would be good for us to collect as a body. And so if you're available next Saturday evening, we're going to do some time of prayer and worship. Nothing super formal, just us getting together and blessing that place and praying over what God's going to do in this body in that house. And so put it in your calendars next Saturday at 6:00 in the new location. It's going to be a great time. And then as well, as always, thank you for giving. Thank you for giving, from a joyful heart, from a generous heart. And you can give online as well as the box in the back and the box up here. And we just thank you guys so much for always sowing into the house of God. Amen. 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 Pastor.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to have Bob Cousard come up. He is going in for a procedure this Wednesday. And he is a man of faith. He's the man who trusts God. But it says, if anybody's sick among you, have the elders anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal the one that's sick, right? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anyone who has Bob on their heart, please come and join me. Lay hands on him. It's not just me. It's actually Jesus who does the work. All we're doing is being vessels to be used by God, right? Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you, God, for this man of God, Lord, this friend, this believer, Lord, who's been following you, and son who's been following you, Lord, for many, many days of his life, Lord. And we pray right now, Lord, that you would just touch him from heaven, Lord, with your healing hand. Lord, you are the great physician, Lord. You are the healer, Lord. We know he's going in and doctors to do something, but Father, you could touch him right now, Lord, where no procedure would even be necessary, Lord. So Father, right now we pray, God, for just a supernatural work to take place in Bob. Lord, let your presence just come and fill him to overflowing, Lord, that this kidney, Lord, is just now healed in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, a supernatural touch in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We believe.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Well, praise the Lord. This is an interesting day, I have to say. You know, it's bittersweet. I was telling somebody, the position that we find ourselves in, where, you know, seems like, you know, it wasn't even really in our thoughts of everything that would happen when last February announced that looks like we might have to sell the building and announce that to the church. There was a confidence that I had that God was going to take care of everything. It's a confidence that he's been building up in my life really strongly over the last 10 years. And it's what I want to share about today, because I really believe that this is something that can help all of us, because there are so many things that come up in our lives, so many situations with family, personal health issues like Bob here, personal things with work, and all of these things that can kind of seem to overwhelm us. But as believers, I believe that we're not meant to be overwhelmed. It doesn't mean that we don't sometimes have like anxiousness or worry, you know, but we're not to be overwhelmed. We're not to be like the world is when they have pressures, because we have a pressure reliever, and that's Christ himself. That's the Holy Spirit. So today, I'm titling this message, The Joy of the Journey. And I don't know how many of you preach or have shared or asked to like share it at a women's study or a men's Bible study or anything like that, or on Saturday morning, right, Tim? But for men's breakfast. But every now and then the Lord will give me a title. He doesn't give me a verse, you know, and it's like, okay, here's a title. Take the title, son, and do something with it. And I'm just like, okay, Lord, well, I'll go look at all the verses where joy and journey are together. Well, there aren't any, so I can tell you that for sure. I tried like Greek cross-reference and but or everything I could do, nothing. So I, you know, when I first heard this in my heart, I kind of had a thought, and I thought, well, it's just my thinking. I really want to hear from God. So what ended up happening, it went back to where I was thinking, because I realized that was the Lord. But the joy of the journey, the idea is that we are on a journey. You know, this is going to be a journey for us. We're moving about 10 minutes away physically now. Before this was One Life Family Worship, it was Church on the Move. And there was like a joke around town for a while. Oh yeah, you're Church on the Move. You got ones to keep moving around. And we did. We moved around for a while. But we ended up here in 1997, and this ended up becoming where we stayed for a while. In about 2000, I think 12, 13, it really was put on my heart to call this house One Life Family Worship. And the reason being is it's one life is because we really believe that we're called to reach Yakima one life at a time. So that doesn't mean that we're always, you know, that means that we're not necessarily trying to draw big crowds, but what we're trying to do is connect with lives one-on-one. We're trying to be friends with those who maybe don't have friends. Maybe we're trying to love on those in places where other people won't love on them, or just make ourselves available to someone that's hurting, whether they go here or not. You guys know that it's not about the building or the facility or the amount of people that you know in church that makes us the body of Christ. The body of Christ is all over this city. And I have not had any greater example of that than what's happened over this last year with these other three pastors, because my heart has been knit to these other two pastors and a third one, but it's been knit to them in such a way that, you know, their needs are my needs and our needs are their needs. And that's the way the body of Christ is really, truly supposed to be. So yeah, we are on a journey. My life has been a journey. My life has been, you know, one of ups and downs, sometimes up. You know, when we first became senior pastors here, this place was pretty much filled every single Sunday for several years. And it was exciting. Lynette texts me. Lynette Allen, I was going to default back to her other name, but no. And she was just saying, you know, blessing us, and I'm sure she would have loved to have been here if she could have, but the idea was that, you know, there was like a powerful move of God at that time, and we were part of, and we were honored to be part of. And, you know, you kind of think, well, this is always going to be the way it's going to be, and that's not always the case. You know, there's seasons change. Things change in our lives. But the journey continues. The journey continues. Now, that's not to say that when it did change, that I wasn't disappointed. I was greatly disappointed. When people left, I was greatly disappointed. Sometimes in them, sometimes in myself. But over these past, like I said, 10 years, 8 years, I've really learned that you need to find a joy in the journey. You need to find your why. And your why, you know, some people say, that's a big business thing. What's our why? Why are we doing this, you know? Well, for us as believers, our why just needs to be simply Jesus. That's it, Jesus. And if we can get our why Jesus, then you know what? Pretty much everything else is going to align. Because you're not letting whatever is captivating your heart at the time drag you down. You're not letting the overwhelming power of situations come upon you, because your why is Jesus, and he's already conquered everything. Yep. Amen? Let's take a look at a verse here. This is Philippians 4, 11 and 12. It says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, I'm not ever going to claim that I've had the same kind of situation as the Apostle Paul, by any means. This is the man who was shipwrecked. This is a man who was stoned to the point of death. This is the man who was, you know, nights without food. I mean, all kinds of things that he had to go through. And that's just naming just a few, not to mention the stress and the burden of all the churches that he had fathered. But I will tell you that the principle of being content is the key to joy. Because if you can find in every situation a place of contentment, and we'll see what that is, a place of contentment, you can maintain joy. Joy isn't, you know, woo, yeah, hey, you know, I mean, there's times we're joyful, but joy is deeper than the actual, I would say, emoting of joy. It's something inside of us. It's something residing in us. It says it's part of the fruit of the Spirit, joy. So when I'm praying through the fruit of the Spirit, I say, Lord, I have your joy. But it doesn't always manifest. The way that it manifests is you learn to be content. You learn to say, Father, I trust you. When things are going bad, you say, Father, I trust you. Lord Jesus, I trust you. I trust that this situation is in your hands. Let me give you guys an example. 2021... it was January 6th, and I was getting ready to have a Bible study. And what ended up happening is I started getting this pain in my side. And it felt like in my side. And I felt like, wow, that's kind of interesting. And I just ate an avocado. Been hard to eat avocados ever since. It's the last thing that I ate before everything, you know, happened. But I ate an avocado, and it felt like it hit a brick wall. Like, what happened? that just felt weird, you know. So it was Wednesday night, Bible study, men's Bible study at time on Zoom. So I went ahead and it was like best way I can explain it, women, like birth pangs. It would come in waves and it would like hit me. And so, and Eric said, you know, because I was feeling the pain during the Bible study. Pastor, why didn't you have us pray for you? Well, I didn't want to interrupt the meeting, you know. It's like, you know, sometimes pastors are the worst people to receive prayer, I'm telling you right now, because, you know, it's like, oh, I don't need it. Everybody else does. But so what ended up happening is I'm sitting there, and about every probably 2 minutes it started, I'd go like this. And it was just a little wince, and I was teaching at the time, so, but nobody seemed to notice it. So after the time was done, I went up and started walking around the house because it seemed to be relieved a little bit when I was walking. But the pain continued to intensify over the next hour. I finally looked at Gay. I said, honey, I need to know what Sis would recommend as the best hospital because something's not right. She goes, what? It's like, because, you know, I've been to a hospital like twice my life. You know, one time when I bit my tongue open, another time when, I guess I did cut my hand one time with Josh. We were doing something downstairs and I tried to catch something and it slipped my head. But, you know, and I bit my tongue and what was the other one? Kidney stones, that was it. That was another one of those birth pangs type thing. But anyway, what ended up happening is that she found out where we needed to go and it was Catholic. And so, because we were in the Tri-Cities at this time, and, you know, 2021, what are we in the middle of right now, guys? COVID, yeah. Well, anyway, I ended up going to the hospital, and by then I was profusely sick every 2 minutes. When the pain came, I was like totally losing it. And this went on for like 4 hours, and I'm just dripping sweat, and, you know, I don't know what's going on. And so they finally get me to a back room because all the rooms are full. It's almost like, you know, it didn't get as bad as like I was in the hallway, but I was in like a place that wasn't a normal place that you go to when you're being seen at the hospital emergency room. So when it happening, they found out I had a blockage. And I said, well, how did I have a blockage? You know, they said, well, you must have had surgery when you were younger. You must have had something injured in your stomach because, you know, usually you just don't get a blockage. And I said, no, I've never had any of that, you know. And this is the first time I've really been in the hospital. They looked at me, what? You know, because I was 60 at the time, but, you know, I tend to look a little younger than my age. Praise the Lord, right? Amen. Woo-hoo. Yeah. Anyway, so the point being is that what happened was is they did a CT scan and, oh, yeah, you definitely got a blockage. And so they put a tube down my stomach and started draining the stuff and at least it relieved the pressure. So the next day I saw the surgeon, and the surgeon was a sharp surgeon. And he said, you know, it's really weird that, you know, you have this going on because you've never been in the hospital. You look really healthy. So we want to go ahead and do some exploratory surgery. I said, okay, yeah, that's great, you know. And they said, if we find something, we'll fix it. I said, okay, that's great, you know. So what ended up happening, the next day I went into OR and... They did whatever they did because I was asleep. I don't know. You know, it was under anesthesia. But when I woke up, it was like I woke up like this. I looked up the nurse and hi. She goes, hi. It's like, you know, that normally doesn't happen. Most people are like, you know. And so I looked down. I said, oh, wow, they had to do a lot of work. She's, yeah. You know, it's like, she's like, and I said, can I go back to my room? She's, yeah. It's like, you know, and all these other people are like out cold, you know. And so I said, can you set me up? I don't like being late. So she set me up in bed and I'm rolling up. You know, this is only, an hour and a half after surgery was done or whatever it was. Yeah, so. What ended up happening, I rolled in, I waved at Gay, hi, honey, you know, I'm feeling great. So she's like, hi. She couldn't believe I was that alert, you know, because when she comes out of anesthesia, she feels terrible. So I'm thinking, this is great, fantastic. I feel amazing. You know, I'm going to go home tomorrow, you know. And so what ended up happening, they ended up putting blood thinners in me because I had thrown a blood clot, I found out. When I had COVID, evidently the COVID affected me in such a way that I got a blood clot. And it basically went down and killed my small intestine, the last lower third of it. And they had to pull it out, reattach it to my colon. So it was major surgery. So they didn't want me to get another blood clot, so they put blood thinners in me. The problem was they put too much in me and I bled out. So going from feeling amazing to about 4 hours later, I almost died. I mean, that's what Gay says. I mean, all I remember is I got up to go to the bathroom, and next thing I know, there were 20 nurses over me looking at me like, what's going on, you know? They either could have coded me or call all call. So the point being is that here I'm in a really difficult situation. But I'm telling you, the years that God had prepared me with these pains here of all the stuff that we've gone through and learning just to say, Lord, it's in your hands. I had a peace that passes all understanding the whole time. I wasn't fretting. I wasn't worrying. I wasn't concerned. Now, Gay may have been. Her husband almost died. But there was like an abiding presence. There was like a contentment in that. And I was in pain. You know, I had to put morphine in me, you know, had to bring me these hot pads for my surgery area. I mean, it wasn't comfortable, but there was just such an abiding presence, you know. Nurses would come in and it's like I could just see God's love for them as they were loving me. I said, "Wow, I feel the love of God as you guys are caring for me." And they'd start weeping, you know, because I'm experiencing God's presence. And, you know, I'm not reading the word right now. I'm just abiding in that work that he's been doing in me. And that's the way it should be for all of us, because he is the one who abides in us all the time. He lives in us. Wherever we are, he is. I wanted to do a t-shirt years ago. It says, "Wherever I am, there he is." Because it's the truth. Whether I go into the dark pit of hell, as it says in Psalm 139, he is there. Or whether I'm on the highest mountain, Mount Everest, climbing, he is there. Or whether I'm in the deepest pit of despair, he is there. Because he loves me and he loves you. And that's why Paul could say, "For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." And I would say that word contentment links to joy. A residing joy, a joy that passes all understanding. It guards your heart and your mind when you're in the worst case scenario. So I was in the hospital 11 days and I got out and, you know, I did a couple of messages with the church and stuff. And again, I thought I was going to be strong, but it was a long recovery. I mean, it took me like, I think like 2 or 3 months to be able to lift things. I mean, when you lose a lot of blood, my daughter said, this is going to really affect you because they have to put blood in you and has to get your system to get used to the blood that was given me. And whoever gave me the blood, thank you. Don't know who it was. But we have to learn these things. It says to renew our mind. That's learning. We have to learn that we can go through things and be content. And the thing is if we're not, we don't show a good witness. It doesn't display Christ in us, the hope of glory. If we just fret like the world frets, who sees the light? Yeah. I don't have it all together, I'm telling you right now. But I'm telling you, during that time, I learned a deep, deep abiding of his presence. Let's take a look at another verse here. This is 1 Timothy 6:3-8. Now, this first part is just kind of talking about an individual or individuals who are doing the gospel or doing church or doing, you know, back then, whatever they were doing to try to, you know, propagate, you know, their message. And Paul's warning these individuals in, or warning Timothy about these individuals. He says, "If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, right, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw." So in other words, they were thinking that you know, this is a way basically to make money. This is a way to make money by being somebody that goes out there and whatever they were doing, sharing the gospel, preaching, you know, going from church to church, you know, whatever it was. They thought that godliness was a means of gain. But if we go to verse here, 6, it says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. In having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." What is Paul saying here to Timothy? With godliness, this godliness, and he wasn't talking about the kind of godliness they were thinking of. He's talking about another godliness. With godliness and contentment is great gain. In other words, There's great profit. There's great things to receive when there's godliness with contentment. And what is contentment? It is that settledness that everything's going to work out. Whether you're abased or whether you abound, whether you have much, whether you have little, whether you're in the hospital or whether you're at home watching a football game with your kids, there's always a place that we can find contentment in God. There's a place, I would believe, that we call it rest, ceasing from our own efforts and labors. Then it says, and having food and clothing with all these, with these, we shall be content. So I want to focus a minute on this godliness, because it's really the key, I think. When I was going through, you know, my Christian walk, this journey, I developed this idea that my godliness was based on my efforts, that my godliness was based on what I could produce for God. You know, if I can do this, then I'm godly, you know. If I don't do this, well, I'm not so godly, you know. Or if I can stay away from this, I'm godly. Oh, but I get involved in this, I'm not godly. So in other words, my godliness was based on my behavior. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And I'll prove it with the word. See, I love it when the word proves the truth, don't you? I love it then when it's not just our own minds that we have to come up, how does this work? When it's in the word, the word's been given to us as a gift, and it communicates the heart and intents of God for us. How powerful is that? How glorious is that? Here's the verse. Are you ready? 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy. What does that mean? There's no argument about this, folks. This is not controversial, what I'm about to tell you. This is the truth that I'm about to communicate to your heart. That's what Paul's saying when he says, without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. It's a mystery. That's why I thought, hey, if I do these things, I'm godly. If I don't do these things, I'm not godly. If I stay away from this stuff, I'm godly. If I get involved in these things, I'm not godly. It was a mystery. I didn't really understand it because I was basing it on my own behavior and strength. But this is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Who's that? Jesus. He came in the flesh. It says he was full of grace and truth. We beheld the word, and the word we handled and touched, as 1 John says. Justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. That's the mystery of godliness, folks. What does that have to do with us? Everything. But nothing. We receive godliness because Jesus did the work. We can then receive his contentment because he did the work. See, I remember when I was saying that our life, when it's all about Jesus, then it's easy to have joy. But if our journey is a part of trying to reach this pinnacle of someday we'll be this spiritual giant and we'll be able to do all these things for God, you'll never reach it. Paul, after all the things he had done to all the churches and been all the places and all the things happened, he says, I count all that as nothing. All I want to do is know Christ. You know, I'm trying to reach the high call. He's never giving up because he realizes that until he sees him face to face, this journey's not done. That's why we need to find joy in the journey, because it's long. Life is long. Now, I know you guys that are young, you know, you don't quite understand that the life is long. But then as you get older, I mean, you understand that life is long. But as you get older, it seems like life is really short. I had a pleasure of meeting somebody yesterday, and we were both talking about how we've gotten older than when we first, you know, started this whole journey here at this place. You know, yeah, this was back in the early 90s. Not everybody knows that, but I was with Foursquare when we moved here from the Masonic Temple into this building. And I was with Pastor Ken when we moved in this building in 97. So I've had a lot of time in this building, probably more than anybody else here. So I don't know if that gives me like bragging rights or if that's just like poor you or whatever, but I have been here probably more than anybody. And I've seen glorious things here, but it's just a building. We are the true building. We are the body of Christ because he dwells in each and every one of us. And his godliness, because he is godly and because of what he did through the work of the cross, lives in us now. It's an abiding presence. And that godliness helps us then live godly through our conduct. But it's not the other way around. You don't make yourself godly by your conduct or by your behavior. You receive godliness as a gift, just as we receive his righteousness. James 1, 2 through 4 says this, "My brothers and sisters, consider it nothing but joy when you fall into sorts of trials, in all sorts of trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect effect, so that you will be perfect and complete, not deficient in anything." But it all starts with what? Pressure. Starts with problems. Starts with trials. Starts with things that come into our lives that aren't comfortable. But he said, consider it joy. Now, has anybody else had a problem with this scripture at times? Come on now. Am I the only one? James, you know what you're talking about? Do you realize that, I mean, when those things come, it like, it's not fun? That it's like, oh man, I mean, you know, lost a son. That was no fun. But I'm told to consider that joy. Why? Because it's producing something in us. It's producing something in us that's eternal. That's why it says we have an eternal weight of glory, because he's producing things in us that are eternal. They're going to last past this life. You know, none of our possessions are going to last past this life, folks. Not one thing. I love it that our relationships last past this life. I was sitting with those two pastors the other day, and I said, you know, someday they may point to us in heaven and say, those are the three yahoos that, you know, traded churches in Yakima, you know. those are the ones that did it, you know. Because I've talked to a lot of people. Nobody's heard of anything like this before. We're all part of a miracle, I hope you realize, that God did something totally supernatural here where nobody could have, I mean, I don't think anybody could have planned this except God. Why? Because he loves us. He loves Living Faith Victory Center. He loves Life Church. He loves many churches. He just happened to use us three for this particular process. And it's been good. But there's also been difficult times. And we're to consider everything joy. Not even the bad times. Everything joy. And I believe joy is connected with contentment. If you don't have contentment, it's hard to have joy. If you're looking for the future to get finally the place I'll be contentment, boy, you're going to be searching a long time. Really. I mean, I can tell you stories of people who all they wanted to do was be a millionaire. And they got their first million and they felt empty. Because they didn't realize that it was part of the journey where the joy was at, of getting there. And they didn't have anything when they got there. It's like, they fall flat on their face until they kind of regroup. And that's the same thing. If we're looking that it's way out there in the by and by that we're going to finally get whatever God has for us, man, we're missing out because we have it all now. All right, let's look at another verse here. This is the Message version of that same verse. Consider it a sheer gift. I love that. This is going to be a gift to you, son, daughter, when you go through troubles. At least you should consider it that way. Friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides, is that not ever the truth? You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Now, isn't that good? In other words, when we are in Christ and we come to difficult times, it's being tested. It's being tried. And if we're living a life that's surrendered to God and yielded to God, you know what comes out? Godliness. But if when and the fruit of the Spirit, I believe. But if we're living to where, you know, we're just doing our own thing, we're not filling ourselves with the gifts that God has given us to reinforce our faith. You guys know you need to reinforce your faith. This Sunday isn't reinforcing your faith totally. Reinforcing your faith is going home and spending time talking to the Lord, or driving to work talking to the Lord, or in your shower talking to the Lord, continuing a relationship that isn't just based on an hour or 2 hours on Sunday morning. It's a constant pushing in and pressing into God. And that's when you're going to go under pressure and your faith life is forced into open, and it will show glorious colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Boy, has anybody ever prayed that prayer? Lord, can you just end this trial right now? It'd be so nice. Because I learned what I'm supposed to learn. I know I have. I know you can back off now, because I've learned this. Just know that God is allowing things in our life. You know, he's not the one just, I'm going to send you just a bunch of bad stuff so you can grow up and be the way I want you to be. No, we're in life, and life has bad stuff. All the time. It'll just keep coming at you. But as Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the bad stuff. I've overcome it. It's not like something that you just have to carry as some kind of burden and weight, you know, and say, oh, I'm doing this for God. No, we can cast our care on him because he cares for us. But let it do its work. There's a work that's going on in each of us when we're going through bad stuff. And the thing is sometimes we don't know that we're in bad stuff until we get like right in the middle of it. Like, oh, I had no idea that this was going to start going this way. I had no idea that this was going to start going this bad. I knew there were some things going on, but I had no idea it was going to be this much. If you realize that I'm getting a gift from God right now, because he's going to deposit something in me that's eternal. He's going to deposit something in me that's going to help me become more like Jesus. I love that. That's why it says that we're to count it all joy. We're to consider it sheer gift, because Jesus is being worked out in us. We're becoming more like Jesus. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Isn't it interesting? He tells them to be content in everything that they have. And he says, you know, because there's people in other countries who just aren't as well off as you. So be content with what you have. There's, there's people down the street who don't have as much as you. It's not that. No, we're to be content because God's with us. Never leaves us or forsakes us. If we believe that, we can be content. But you know, part of the problem is we're not believing believers sometimes. Or as Alan Higgins says, believing believers. He's from New Zealand. He would say that. I've said this before. It's like, Alan, yeah, believing believers. I get it. Now, if Alan was here, I'd say, Alan, I get it. I see what you mean by believing believers. In other words, we truly believe what we believe. We truly live what we believe. We don't just say we believe it. We live it, and we show we believe it. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? In other words, what can anything of this life do to me? Is there anything really? What's the worst thing that's going to ever happen to you? Let's say it. We're going to die, right? Could be the best day of your life. Really? As believers, death could be the best day of our life. We may not think it right now. Oh, no. I mean, I want to see my children grow up. I want to see my grandkids. I want to see. There's all of that. But I'm telling you, to be with Jesus face to face, it could be the best day of your life. I haven't done it yet, so I can't say it for sure. But to me, sounds pretty good. And when you know that that's your ultimate destination, you can be content in just about anything. Why do you think the people, when they were being burnt at the stake, were singing and praising God? Because it's becoming the best day of their life. People who were being eaten by lions. I mean, this is some of the testimony that was happening in Rome. They were seeing the way that people were dying. They're going like, there's something to this. And it revolutionized Rome. to the place where it really fell from being a place where they were idolaters. They became more and more Christian because the display of the believers blew their minds. There's something Book of Martyrs. Read it. It's amazing how God used the death of his servants to reach others. Stephen. A lot of people don't realize, but when Stephen was being stoned in Acts 7, I believe it is, 8, they threw their clothes at the feet of a young man. You know who it was? At the time, it was Saul. He became the Apostle Paul. I'd like to ask him, did that do something? Well, if it didn't, it did. It sowed a seed that then God caused to happen in Paul's heart where he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. I'm just telling you, we don't know how God's working. And he's working good right now. I'm telling you, get ready for your heart to be stirred. I'm telling you. If he's doing it to me, I know he's doing it to others. He's doing it to other pastors. There's like a shaking that's taking place. Again, it's so exciting. It may not be everything that we thought it would be, you know, because we have picturing things, but something deep is happening in us. Something profound is happening in us. Something that is eternal is happening in us. And praise God for it. Praise God. So Philippians 4, 11, 12 again. Now we can read it, maybe understand it. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, whatever state I am in, to be content. What has he learned? He's learned that Christ is in him. He's learned that wherever he goes, Jesus is. He's learned that whatever situations he's in, God's got him. No matter how bad it gets, God's got you. Remember that. No matter what your rest of your life looks like, if you're in a difficult situation sometime, just remember, Jesus is with me. God's got me. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I have learned both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I thank you, God, that your word is true. So let you be true, Lord. Let your word be true, and every other statement of man be a liar, Lord, that's false. Father, we want you to really be our all in all. I know for me, I do. I want you to be my all in all. I know sometimes I've ignored you. I know sometimes I've blown you off. I know sometimes I haven't listened properly. And I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for that. I ask you, Lord, to let your healing power continue to restore my soul from all the hurt and pains of the past. Because we do receive, Lord, everything you have for us. It says that we have all things to life and godliness. Right there it is. We have received all things for life and godliness. And the things aren't things, Lord, they're you. It's truly you, Lord, that we have. Well, it's really not fair when you think about it. We have the God of all creation on our side. I know if I was the enemy and I knew the God of all creation was on the person's side, I'd be a little leery of how I would mess with them. Yeah, Lord, continue to help fight our battles. Continue, Lord, to sharpen the weapons of our warfare. Continue, Lord, to revive your truth in us, so that we're not leaning in any way on our own thoughts or understanding, but in everything that we say and do and commit to, Lord, we acknowledge you. I bless my brothers and sisters right now, Lord, with encouragement in their heart, Lord, that you're with them. You'll never leave them. You'll never forsake them. And if God is for you, family, nothing can be against you. Nothing can stand against God's will for your life. And Lord, we know that we're moving to a new location. And that's all it is a new location. But Lord, when we go there, we ask that we would continue the momentum, God, that you've started in our hearts. Lord, that we would not go there and start gawking around and get all caught up, Lord, in the place. But Lord, we continue to be fixed on you, Lord, like a flint. Lord, we keep our eyes on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, the joy that was set before you was us. Because of that, you endured the cross and you despised its shame. And now you're seated at the right hand of God. Lord, help us to stay on you like a target. And Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise, Lord, for the miracle that you're accomplishing here. But Lord, it's not enough. We want more of a display of the power of God in this day. People need to see you, God. And if you choose to let them see you through us, then praise God. In Jesus' name, amen. Says it all. It's simple. It's not complicated. We want to make God complicated. But you know, he really isn't. He's beyond our understanding, but the gospel isn't complicated. He came and chose to take our place for everything that we deserved. And now we get to receive all of God. Not part of him, all of him, including his godliness. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to do a little bit of work now. So we're going to get all of these chairs off the floor and have them stacked over there in four high. Life Church is going to be picking them up Saturday for us and taking them to our church and putting them in the sanctuary. How nice of them to do that, right? So these chairs unhook a little bit odd. They've got little latches on them. You want to start from this end to lift them up. Not that end, Nancy. This end. And so, yeah, just one at a time. You can carry them over there. We want them on the tile. There we go, on the tile. Okay. Now, if there's any strong men that would like to help with a few more things that we missed yesterday, Patrick, can you raise your hand? Patrick here, he has a list of the things that I need done. So, when you're done with the chairs, I see you're working hard. God bless you all. Thank you for coming. And
thank you for your help.
Thank you for your help. Praise God.